very good.
Good morning. We'll call the January 22nd, 2013, Suffolk County Council meeting to order. At first, we'll offer our condolences to Robin. Her Pat's got beat, so I'm sorry for her.
Thank you for that.
But good for the Ravens.
Yes. I now forgive the Colts for leaving Baltimore.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. Approval of the agenda. We can amend the agenda under grants request number 2, strike Nanticoke Rotary Club for the annual Sussex County Paramedics Awards Dinner. And we can strike executive session, all items under executive session, and possible action on executive session.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. Dever, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. You had a copy of the minutes of January 15th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There is one letter from Delmarva Teen Challenge. On behalf of the staff and board of directors, Delmarva Teen Challenge, Inc., thank you for your continued generous support of our organization. From Bob Carey. And that is the only piece of correspondence.
Callaway correspondence.
I got something just now from Delta. It's a little too soon to read it out. I'm not prepared, but next week I would like to read it. It has to do with the traffic impact study regulation changes.
Okay. Certainly. Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item today is a presentation by Mr. Bill Andrew with the Delaware Electric Co-op. He's here to give us some good news. Mr. Andrew.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Mr. President, council folks, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bill Andrew. I'm president and CEO of Delaware Electric Cooperative, and I'm here today to present you with a check for capital credits. But first, I would like to say a couple words. Delaware Electric Cooperative, as you know, is the largest provider for members within Sussex County. We serve over 75% of the county area. And we're very proud of the fact that we are able to supply you with the lowest price power in the region. In addition to that, we do keep the lights on. But because you are a member of Delaware Electric Cooperative, you are an owner. And all of the people of Sussex County, therefore, are owners. And as a result of that, we are a not-for-profit electric cooperative. And when we are able to make a margin or a profit, we are able to allocate that and give it back to you in the form of a capital credit check once it is retired. Okay? This year, we retired our capital credits of 1993 and 1994. So today, I'm very proud to give you a check for $9,782.50.
Wow.
As a return for your investment in Delaware Electric Cooperative for the capital credits that were remaining and that were retired by our board of directors for 1993 and 1994. There is some more good news, okay, in that in addition to the Sussex County has allocated capital credits, or you own part of the business, or you own part of the investment. You actually invest in Delaware Electric Cooperative. And each year when we are able to make a profit, and we have made some solid profits, even though our rates are substantially low, you have accumulated a total capital credit allocation in the name of the county of over $298,000 that have yet to be retired and that we anticipate retiring in the future. So there's more good news where that's coming. We do appreciate your support of everything that we do. And we want you to know that whenever there's an issue, a concern, or even an idea, please feel free to give me a call, my cell phone or at my office or any other member of Delaware Electric Cooperative's employee team. But, wow. Mr. President?
We'll get a picture of this chip. We'll come out there. I'll show water for $9,000.
Is it true that I'm the only member on this council that's a member of this organization?
I am also saying.
Oh, there. Say it's not.
Then there's two-fifths of us. We haven't got enough to get a picture.
I'm not a member.
I've been a member since 65 years ago we joined.
Wow.
1947.
No, we joined in 1960, my parents.
As I took a look, see that electric come. With milking cows by hand, pumping water by hand. went to the barn with Leonard.
You have the option there to go Delmarva or Delaware Co-op?
I had no option. War, the wartime, see, 47, right after the war, couldn't get it.
So you, the challenge was, did you want electricity or not?
Are you kidding?
That was what it boiled down to. What a big decision.
Wait, no question.
All of a sudden now, it doesn't sound like you had to put a whole lot of thought into this.
Wasn't available.
Mom wanted a toaster.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bill? I guess a year ago, Sussex County had a surplus, and we provided to, so to speak, our users a refund, and I believe your organization received a substantial refund as well. So,
yes, sir.
I think we both have a similar philosophy about returning the money to the users whenever we have a surplus.
But actually, and that's an excellent point. It's a great business model. It works for everybody that wants to be a part of it. And we thank you for all that you do day in and day out.
All my neighbors are jealous.
Thank you.
Because I have it.
And that comes through management.
Ms. Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's Report for January 22nd, 2013. Item number one, please be advised the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet January 28, 2013 at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County West Administrative Complex in Georgetown. A copy of the agenda is attached. Representatives of the Greater Lewis Community Village will be speaking on their mission to provide neighbors 50 and older living in the Lewis area the services, expertise, social interaction, and practical means to remain independently and safely in their homes as they age in place. Item number two, a public auction of surplus county vehicles and equipment was held on Saturday, January 19th at the Sussex County EOC. 13 vehicles, 8 generators, and 2 tractors were sold for a total of $20,000, $20,500. And item number three, it is with great sadness that we inform you of the passing of Mr. Clarence Fisher, county pensioner, on January 14th, 2013. Mr. Fisher worked as a water operator at the Dewey Beach Water Tower from January 2002 until his retirement April 2012. A memorial service was held yesterday at Melson's Funeral Home in Millsboro. The family requests in lieu of flowers a donation be made to the St. Jude Children's Hospital. We wish to express our condolences to the Fisher family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Mrs. Webb.
Good morning. Today I'm going to cover the comprehensive annual financial report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2012. You received the financial statements by mail and a copy of the presentation, the PowerPoint, digitally in your packet, and I put one on your desk so you can look through. I'd like to thank a few people first today and introduce our new auditors, representative of the accounting department that worked very hard on this audit, especially in this challenging six-month period of where we worked, when we worked on it. We remember we had the Munis conversion July 1st, so we were going to a new software. Payroll went live just this January 1st, so they were working on payroll. They did the financial statements, Ms. Kathy Roth, and I know they're back there. They like to sit in the back. She worked very hard on doing the financial statements in the new software, and they deserve a lot of recognition on a timely basis. And, of course, Gina Jennings leading the department. We got it in on time like we have in the last 10 years for our CAFR award. Louise Thompson. Is Louise here?
She's hiding back there, too.
I see him, Sylvia Wazinski, and a new accountant that we just hired, Christine Berry. So thank you. And our auditors, Keith Hammond from BDO, new this year. So we have, takes a lot of time gathering information for new auditors as they fill their files with county information that they didn't normally have. Sussex County has had another positive year, as will be presented today. The PowerPoint's going to pull relevant information from the financial statement. It is very large, and it would take me a long time to cover all of it. But we can talk about any questions you have later, or you can come see me if you have concerns or questions on anything. The most important part, of course, we say it every year, is our independent auditor's report and our unqualified opinion. The financial statements that I'm referring to present fairly, in all material respects, all our funds for Sussex County, Delaware as of June 30, 2012. This is a statement of revenue expenditures and changes in fund balance for our governmental funds for June 30, 2012, the general fund and the capital projects fund. This is our revenues, less our expenses, less our transfers, ins and outs, to get our net change in fund balance or our year-end surplus. And for the general fund this year, that was $854,029, bringing down a total fund balance for both of these funds, general fund and capital projects funds, of $94 million. Just a snapshot of the balance sheet for the governmental funds of just the fund balance section. The general fund, $78 million, capital project, $16 million, and total, $94 million. In this governmental funds of the $94 million, $64 million is restricted. It is realty transfer tax. We do keep it restricted. Although it has a broad use, there are restrictions, public safety, capital, debt, economic development, public works. So as much as we can pull into the general fund each year when we pay our expenses of the realty transfer tax, we use that money. The rainy day is at 26% of our governmental funds. Our capital project reserve, $16 million, is over in capital projects. So in a situation where we have three or four lean budget years and we're not able to transfer money over to capital projects to keep up with our five-year capital plan, we have a reserve of funds over there so we can keep moving with our capital improvement plan. Of the $78 million, 4.4 is assigned through our fund balance policy. County administration, such as Mr. Lawson or the budget committee, may assign funds that we perceive that we're going to reserve for use in a particular way. For instance, we have the biggest portion of the $4.4 million is economic development for marketing the airport at a later date when we have the runway extension completed. We are still holding money for reassessment if it comes to fruition one day, and open space. Here's revenue over and under expenditures comparing for the last 12 years. As you can see, we had our peaks. Oops. When the economy was doing very well, 2002, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and the drop, the 3 years that we did not have a surplus, and then coming up out of it in 2010. Last year, our income over expenditures were $3.8 million, and this year, 2012, is $854,000. When we had our increase last year of $3.8 million, you did approve $2 million extra going into the pension fund. That happened in the cash payment in the next fiscal year, so that $2 million, although made in 1 year, is actually coming out in the next year, 2012. That's a little different to understand. Here are the specific general fund revenues comparing 2011 and 2012, and you can see the consistency in a lot of these numbers. Taxes, fire service, realty transfer tax. I believe it was only around a $30,000 difference between actual now, year to year. Row offices did have a large bump, and that's due to the share of foreclosure sales. I think this is a good reflection of our local economy in Sussex County. Here's our general fund expenditures in a bar graph. Again, it's very comparative and comparable to the previous year, comparing 2011 and 2012. Many of the departments are very consistent. In human resources, where you see this large increase, that's where the extra $2 million pension is accounted for, which was coming out of the surplus from 2011.
Why the bump in paramedic? Is that a new station?
Yeah, getting ready for the new station, and I believe it was for salary increase. Here's a statement of revenues and expenditures and changes in fund balance, budget to actual for the general fund. And this is comparing the budget for 2011 to the actual, I'm sorry, budget for 2012 to the actual for 2012. You can see the total revenues at $45 million. And then what we actually received, So in terms of revenues, we received $1.6 million over our budgeted revenues. Most of that being right here in charges for services, which would be the Sheriff's Department, taxes right here, which would be the extra and realty transfer tax, budget to actual. Not to be confused with actual to actual was very close together, but we had not anticipated that much in the budget. And then in the intergovernmental, that's a large number, is the way the paramedics receipts come back in from the state. For governmental accounting, we can only record in revenue what's measurable and available in 60 days, and we just did not get that receipt in time, so it will be reflected in 2013. In the expenditures, $601,000 opposite of the budget, and again, that goes back in this category, general government, where we had the $2 million extra in the pension, which was not a budgeted item, but an item of where we designated that from the prior year surplus. Coming down to the $854,000. The general fund capital projects, we did spend $2.3 million this year on capital projects, most of it at the airport for expansion and improvements of $1.4 million. We worked on the design of the extension for the 500-foot runway. We did stormwater improvements, environmental assessment, and a lot of pavement improvements. The library expansion and improvements for $275,000 included the Milton improvements and the Greenwood design, and we did regular building and land improvements to our administration building, our West Complex, and the Nanticoke Dredge Project. For sewer, for business-type revenues, comparing 2011 and 2012, we had a small increase in most of the categories. Charges for service is a service charge, that's the user charge. The assessment fees, that's a front foot assessment, and connection fees. And this is basically due to the three new districts going online, which were 2,000 new users between Johnson's Corner, Angola, and Oak Orchard Expansion. So that increased our service charge, our assessment fees, and our connections. Also, in the capital grants, when as the grants get closed, many of them get closed at the end of the project. This is all still the stimulus, which was 5 years ago, so we're wrapping it up now. We close our grants and our loans for USDA, and we closed a lot in this year, a lot more than we did last year. Very good. Sewer highlights. We did have the three new sewer districts come online, adding 2,000 new users. We're upwards of 65,000 users now for sewer. We continued with expansion, upgrades, and renovations to our existing infrastructure with Pump Station 30 improvement, a $13 million large project, and the Inland Bays treatment plant improvement, and we're working on the next phase of that treatment. $3 million in connection fees. $1 million is the increase over last year due to new connections. And we did do the debt refinancing a year ago, the sewer bonds, where we saw the $7 million of savings, and we passed a lot of that savings on in the budget, in their sewer rates, and we expect to do that again this year. This is just a snapshot of the pension fund. You had a more update pension information in November when we did the contributions for the year, but what I wanted to show you and what's important is in the financial statement, there's a lot of pension information. And there's a lot of pension information because people are interested in the health of an organization's pension plan. There's pages of footnotes to the financial statement, all kinds of requirements about the pension plan, unfunded balances, a lot of technical terms. And because it's important and we have paid a lot of attention to our pension plan, you as a council have done very well to fund it, including the Post-Retirement Employment Benefit Trust, which, as you've heard our consultants say, we're way ahead of the game. So that's why I put the pension fund in here again, even though this is June 30 information. At June 30, we had $76 million. And here in our employer contributions, the 6.3, and that does include the extra $2 million.
What percentage was that, Susie?
Excuse me?
What percentage was that of funding? Was it
that is like 93%, yeah, 93. But...
Okay.
I hate to say that because the actuary report we have a new year. That is old information.
Okay.
Our actuary report closes at December, so we should be ready to get the whole new year.
Good news.
And telling us what the new contribution will be for our budget in 2014. For long-term debt, no general fund debt, same. You've seen this slide before, it's the same. Just our sewer debt, $191 million of our sewer debt, which reflects the amount of projects that we do on our sewer districts. It's only for sewer debt. And here's the schedule of expenditures of federal awards. And I put this in there because we get a lot of federal money, and it goes through a lot of different departments. It affects community development, accounting, engineering, airport, and EOC, a lot of our big departments. And this year particularly, we received $31 million of federal funding. That's a lot of accounting, record keeping, compliance that everyone has to be aware of to receive these funds and go through an audit and have a clean audit of between our auditors and the federal auditors that come to visit. So for United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, $18 million this year, and that was the sewer projects. The bonds that got closed where you saw where we had an increase in the capital grants, that's why, $18 million. CDBG, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, $2.1 million. Department of Transportation, which is the FAA, $900,000. EPA, which is passed through the State Revolving Fund, $8.8 million. That's slowing down while RD or USDA was ramping up because State Revolving Fund gives their money up front and USDA at the end. But and all that that's used for sewer.
Mrs. Webb, I have a question, Mr. Phillips.
And I think I heard you say all that's used for sewer.
Yes. In the EPA, it's all used for sewer. That's correct. There is a little bit in RD, as you can see up here, $26,000 for the, they have this odd rural housing preservation grant that's run through CDBG program. The Department of Energy, $200,000, while this is winding down, as you remember, we did the solar panels. I believe, Gina, it was an $800,000 grant. We had a little bit left over, so we asked if we could do some energy efficient lighting, and we did that this year. And Department of Homeland Security, which is our emergency management money, DEMA, bring a total of $31 million. And as many years as I've been here, 20, I think that's the highest I've ever seen it. In the last 5 years, it's been up pretty high because of the sewer project. So that's the amount of work that gets done and that we're responsible for. For financial planning, as you can see, we have a strong and have had a strong financial foundation, no general fund debt. We continue to make capital improvements using reserve funds. We have a healthy rainy day fund. We have a plan for the future, a capital improvement plan for both general fund and sewer. And now the new thing is the Munis and the total integration of our departments. We've put a sizable investment in Munis to make the county more efficient, with all the departments being integrated, so that, which you'll hear later from Mr. Hawks, is going to talk about some plans that we have for Munis, and you'll be able to see that total integration of the departments, which affects everything. When we're more efficient and we have a more well-rounded software that connects and ties all the departments together.
I have a question. I don't know if it's for you or really for the council. I mean, I've talked to folks on the council about this, but should make it say something about it. I'm concerned because we have a lot of RV camps coming up, and I'm concerned about the realty transfer tax. We just got a report on one proposed RV campground, and the income or the revenue expected in order to pay for things like the paramedics, the police and fire. It's not a good story. So I'm a little concerned about that. And you know, where one's proposed for Massey's Landing, and we have to run paramedics and fire and police down there. I'm just wondering if the revenue is going to come in realty transfer
because you're
tax.
Saying the property's not transferring.
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but in some cases it is not.
Right.
And that's just a concern that I think we should look into that. The other concern is I still get complaints that about stormwater management, and just for your information, that I still get complaints from the state and that we're not doing it. And then, of course, we feel that Conservation District should do it. I don't know if that's a financial issue or not, but just for your information, it's still, and especially with this the storm that we had, we have drainage and flooding problems.
Okay, thank you. I think Mrs. Webb just, we're showing $854,000 surplus, we'll call it. And that does not include our commitment to additional four state troopers this year, is that correct?
That's correct.
So just, and I know we haven't got an exact number on that yet when the class starts and that kind of thing. So is it safe to say that a ballpark number would be our surplus is probably about $500,000? Ballpark.
Yes. I estimate the state troopers will class will not start to February, so that reduces the amount they initially discussed. Good for us. It reduces our impact because now we only have February to June for the 50%. Then they go into the next percentage. So, yes, you're actually correct, around 500,000, 533 to be exact.
I was just going to say I would bring for council's consideration the fact that I think there's two areas we could stand to do some help for people in. One of those is independent libraries. The other one's going to be the, Mr. Lawson, remind me again what the department, Mr.
Community Development and Housing. Community Development and Housing.
Wherever you hear that number keeps getting bigger. People need help with roofs leaking and heaters don't work and that kind of stuff. Maybe the thought would be of, this is only my thought, we tried to discuss this, is we could take maybe 350 of that money and charge the library board to come back to us with a recommendation on how that money could be utilized at the local library level.
And that would be just for the independent libraries?
Yes, just the libraries. And the other 150 to go to Mr. Whaley's department and let them help get that number decreased from the last hour of like 1,200, I think, on that list.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
To bring that number down. I think those two things will be a very good thing on this council to
right in line with the things I hear from people.
Mr. Cole?
One other area, I mean, we're just, we're not making any decisions on any of this stuff today, but I'll throw in, and Mrs. Deaver mentioned it with the drainage issues. Now, I know we give to a conservation district so much funding every year and things, and with the drainage problems that are throughout the county, there's two ways to address it. We look at it, you know, inside here at the county and do something, or we look to an organization, an agency that already is set up to do it. And similar to what we've done with the state police over the years, where we've had this partnership with them, I might suggest, Mike, we might even look at if there's a way that there's some staff people they could hire, how much it might cost, and that could be dedicated just to the drainage issues that are facing this county, then that would relieve a burden here for us to try to reinvent the wheel and again, go to an agency, Sussex Conservation District, that maybe has the thing. So maybe a conversation with them would be helpful, and we could fund some staff members to deal with those issues. And instead of us creating ordinances and having hearings and then getting staff people, they have to then coordinate with them. So it might be just a better way to look at it. So I wouldn't mind that staff would maybe look at that as a another way to take some of this surplus and help, you know, the Sussex County, which would obviously help. So that would help. So those three areas, I think, would be good places to spend some of this money.
Mr. Phillips, you have a comment? Or?
I would probably defer to Mr. Wilson since he serves on Conservation Board for the council. I do believe that using the current surplus for libraries and the housing department would be appropriate. I think Mr. Cole's issue may have merit. If we're talking about staff members, it may be something that we need to budget for so that we don't give them a one-time amount of money and then leave them hanging, as the federal government often does.
Wilson, thoughts on the?
Well, it's sort of new here, but George is probably in the right direction, I think.
2 weeks in a row.
I think as far as the council, I mean, as far as the council voting to give this money, we should put it with strings attached. that you just don't spend it anywhere.
Like trips.
And use it, mm-hmm. use it in their operation instead of putting it in staff and all these things. I mean, shucks, you give me $500,000, I can spend it for you. Now, how wise I spend it, and how fast much time you give me to think about it. Give me a little time to think about it, I might spend a lot much wiser. Right. I might try to justify how I'm spending my money. And I think we're here in a hurry today.
Oh, no, I don't know. No. I'm just saying, I'm putting it on the table with these other two issues, and if it fits, I think we ought to do it.
I think we ought to justify how we're spending taxpayers.
Exactly. Oh, I agree with you.
I mean, if we really want to get rid of it, let's just give it back to taxpayers to be done with. I mean, if that's what we're going to try to do here.
Do you think that Councilman Phillips's comment would the issue Councilman Cole brought up from your perspective on the board at the soil conservation, is that something we would be better served to look at in our operating budget for next year? So it's something that is funded. I mean, would not be a one time here it is, and then we leave you hanging high and dry.
I think the soil conservation, some things are wrong and some things are right.
Sure.
And I think the stormwater program is absolutely foolishness in my view. When you dig a hole down the ground, the deeper you go down, the more you get closer to drinking water, the more you're liable to pollute the drinking water. The earth is set up as a sponge and to collect these chemicals and things and eliminate it from the drinking water. So I think it's foolishness. Now, if I was the, I guess I do help serve and make decisions, but my decision would be is how to drain it.
Yeah, drainers.
How to get it out of the area. But some people don't even think they go out and buy a piece of land because they can buy it $10,000, $20,000 cheaper, that lot, and buy it in a mud hole or in a low spot, low land, then expect the government to come along and bail them out. I have problems with those people, too. So, I mean, we can do everything for everybody. But then we get down to the point, who is going to really pay for this? See? And I think people, we are not here to take away an incentive from people that do work. And those that don't work, we're really killing incentives here. We're giving people incentives not to work. We're giving people incentives that do work not to work.
But
we're
Sam,
just killing people. So we got to watch ourselves how we're spending people's money. And I need a day or two to think about this really before I can really.
Well, no, we're not voting. I'm just putting it on the table. I think with these other things, and it may not go anywhere, but it's just something to talk about. We don't need to get into all the details at this point. But if there's a way we could structure it, it might be something. You could consider, correct?
To say about details?
You may remember the tour that Conservation District took us on, which covered most of the spots that they pointed out to us were in the 3rd District. So
there's a lot of places conservation could work. Prime Hook is one of them. I mean, here we are, got hundreds of acres.
I'm not talking about bay water.
I'm talking about farmers' land that's been lost. Because the bay water did come
right.
along.
That's right.
And ruin the land. There's a lot of places we can make improvement in this county, not for the general public, not for individuals and certain groups. Let the general public pay the taxes, let the general public profit from the money they've given.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Mrs. Webb.
If you have any questions, if you read on it in the next week or two.
Sure. Thank you. Jim Hicken, Airport.
Did you want a motion on the floor?
I didn't want a motion. Okay.
Nope.
All
right.
Okay.
Well, I have one more comment about finance. I'm looking forward to hearing from DelDOT because we need roads down here. We need intersection improvements, and I understand they're coming next month. And I want to know, I'd like to know, I think we're going to find out where their money's going. Is it going upstate and why it's not here? It's very important to my district.
They're on the agenda next month, you said?
They're coming next month, I believe.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yes, they've indicated they're going to come down and give a presentation in February.
We're not sure which week, but sometime in February?
That's correct.
Good. All right.
Well, just to wrap up this discussion about, I guess, what to do with the surplus, I certainly agree with Mr. Wilson if we're going to be indecisive about this, giving it back to the public is always a good decision. But at this point, you are going to let our finance people maybe come up with a plan and bring
sure.
it back?
Yep.
Is that the,
yep, that'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Really
okay.
would appreciate it. Thank you.
You all could also investigate Mr. Wilson's concern and Mr. Cole's concern about the drainage and Mrs. Deaver. If you could come back to us, say, 30 days from now. I guess that's enough time maybe to look at it. If you need, do we need more time than that, you think?
No, okay, I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you. Don't have time to think about it, Mr. Wilson?
On a warmer day.
Okay, on a warmer day, too. Okay. It'll be warmer in 30 days, hopefully.
I hope.
Okay, thank you, Mrs.
Thank
Webber.
You, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, everybody.
Good job.
We have some lights back on here, please.
And Mr. Hicken, this will be a hard act to follow.
Mm-hmm.
All that good news.
Jim Hicken,
Air have a check for
Methods
us?
Sublease.
Guarantee it won't take as long. This is a sublease agreement. Kind of starts with Air Methods. Air Methods is the parent company of LifeNet, who operates at the airport as the air ambulance company. They lease what we call Lot A2 from the county, which has a county-owned hangar on it. They operate 24 hours a day. They've got people that are on call at the hangar 24 hours a day. And they've been using the mezzanine area in the hangar as sleeping quarters, office space, et cetera. It's kind of cramped, not a lot of privacy. So they're interested in placing a 24-by-60 modular building on the property to use as aircrew quarters and office space. The problem is the best place for them to put it is on the north side of the hangar, and there's just not enough room on that lot to put that there. So they've talked to Joe Hudson, who is basically Leg Hudson LLC, who leases the lot next door to us, or next door to them, and they've all agreed to lease 20 feet of that, sublease 20 feet of that property to have room for that modular building.
Jim, I just was kind of thinking about it in a funny sort of way, but that restaurant area, we can't turn that into a dormitory type of operation where they could house people like this and short-term stays?
Ready to give up on the restaurants? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, they could eat and sleep, bed and breakfast. All right.
A motion, sir?
Sure. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the proposed sublease agreement between Air Methods Incorporated, Lake Hudson LLC, and Sussex County as presented.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Brad Hawks, Administrative Building Renovations.
Good morning, all.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lawson asked me to come and review some of the nuts and bolts that we've been discussing here in our administration building that we're currently in. And I've got a couple schematic drawings we're going to review with you, and not sure if Todd is going to review some, you know, finer administrative points. I'm pretty well versed in nuts
sure.
and bolts and what we're going to attempt to do here.
I can, in your packet was a memo referencing the administrative building renovations. This is a project that was in this year's budget that was approved to do construction on the first floor of this building, which is an additional phase of our Munis ERP computer system project overall. And what this is going to do is allow customers to come into this building and go into one location and conduct business with the county. Whether you want to buy a dog license, pay your tax bill, pay your back taxes, or get a building permit, you're going to be able to do all of that in one location, which is going to increase our efficiency and effectiveness in our customer interaction. So this is the construction side of things that Mr. Hawks is going to demonstrate.
Currently, the council is over here on the right side of your screen, and here's the elevator portion just to kind of give you some frame of reference. So this is where our permits counter is currently, and this is the area where our building code administration folks are. So that's like a frame of reference. We have some thoughts for two phases of construction. Let me see which one. I got it.
silent.
But you were on that one first.
Sure.
So we have three drawings for you to look at.
We don't have to make a choice, do we? I mean, you're making...
There you go.
Good.
Help me out, too. Okay, I see what you're saying. Thank you. This, where we're here today is for discussion purposes. So I kind of showed you in the previous slide that, you know, where we were generally in the building. And then this kind of focuses on an area within that corridor. Again, the permits counter and the doorway is here. And now this highlights an area that we're looking at renovations where we could have like a central collections is the way Gina and Todd have explained it to me, to be able to set up kind of like a cashier type arrangement, something a little bit more formal than in some of the other areas we have now where we take cash payments. So that's what this area would represent. There would be basically like a teller window type arrangement. Again, very well defined for the public. When they would come up, they would, you know, be able to identify this as a place where they're paying tax bill, Todd, multiple different ways of collections.
All the collections right now, if you want to pay your back taxes, pay your taxes, pay your sewer bill, get a dog license.
On one floor?
All those examples, you have to go to individual offices throughout this building. This will collectively bring all of those services down to
Great.
One location.
Great.
Why didn't you think of
it? And this Great. Is in keeping, I guess, with the Munis program that we're being able to provide these services. So we're trying to set up an area that better represents how we could use the Munis software and how we could better coordinate with the public.
Drive-through would be next, right?
Excuse me?
No, drive-through would be next.
Not quite.
No, okay.
This area basically would have our... say treasury type or tax type folks would move to this area and be able to handle all of those transactions and you know, expand on what we do now, but in a different format, different view when people walk in the door, and a secure format that we're comfortable with as well. So that's the first thing we would accomplish if we were moving forward with the renovations here.
So one window or two windows, or what are we?
There's actually four windows here.
There's four windows.
There's three kind of that face the hallway.
Okay.
Right there. And then there's one that faces basically the permit counter. So if a person were at the permit counter working with one of the technicians and they were completed that portion and they were going to pay some type of a fee, the technician would not have to deal with any cash in a cash drawer. They would physically go right through their work zone and hand it right through the window to
But the person that would be out on the outside that would be paying for that.
That's correct. So, yes, the user would be at the permit counter, and the technician would handle the transaction.
Three windows for the public and one window for the staff to be able to...
That's the current...
Gotcha, okay.
That's the current layout. That's correct.
And there won't be lines, you don't think? Or, I mean, is there any time of year that there could be possibly a...
When we have our taxes due.
I'm saying taxes.
But it's not, you can't, I wouldn't plan the whole thing around 2 or 3 days of a due date. Whereas
right.
You can you can staff 100% three windows, or you can go down to one, you know what I mean? You have your option.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'm just thinking, like, make it user-friendly. Staging area, I mean, is there some place,
will
there be places for people to sit and wait to be able to go? Okay.
Yes.
We'll be
Bobby type thing.
What percentage of people pays their taxes anyway in person?
Very few, I think.
What percentage of people?
That pays their taxes in person.
Oh, in person.
They don't mail them in or don't put them on email or some kind of other way.
That is decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. We tested it this year.
And we're going this direction, and here we are using this service less. Why are we going this direction? Why are we spending extra money to... That's
much.
Really... It's not going to really gain, in a sense, speaking.
Well, Sam, I think taxes are just part of it.
Yeah.
I understand, but I just asked the question, what percentage?
Right. Well,
I just say, and the answer is very small percentage, and we're getting less. That's the answer.
one way of looking at it.
It is going down. That's one of the reasons of us combining multiple departments. So it's now not just tax. We're collecting utility billings, connection fees, everything in one location so that, that we're seeing less foot traffic now that staff is being utilized 100% in one area.
Instead of having cashiers scattered all about the building, half a dozen of them, you may be able to have a couple in one location.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
So this is to make things more efficient.
Correct.
And yeah.
Yes. Right. Instead of just our busy time, we're now busy all the time in that one area.
Instead of having six or a dozen cashiers, we're going to have two? Is that what we're saying?
We're four for the maximum area. It'll be probably 2 to 3 full time.
But not collecting just taxes.
Correct.
You could come in, pay taxes.
It's a one area for everything.
You could get your building permit, your sewer. These folks have now cross-trained to do everything all in one location.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings.
So that would be the first phase. That's what we would do. Obviously, this is building renovation, and the building is in operation, so we have to be real conscious of that. So we're putting a good deal of thought into how would we be able to do some remodeling with the least impact to the public, and the staff obviously is, you know, displaced for a period of time as well. So that's one portion that we're looking at doing. There is another portion with that. And that would be the permit counter. We would be making some changes to that as well.
You've just turned the paper now, right? Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
The writing is a little upside down, but the view is the same. But basically, here again is your lobby area. Here's the main doors. So now we're highlighting the permits counter area here, and there's some proposed office adjustment back here because, again, we're displacing some permit issues, moving some things around, so we need to accommodate how all this is taking place. But this permits counter, if this is the revised model, if you remember now when you go through the door, there's like a little conference table as soon as you go in the door there that in my journeys I rarely see anybody ever using. And Eddie Parker and Andy and a whole group of people have been involved in how can we make the space that we have the most efficient. And this layout was discussed of revamping the permit counter, doing away with that conference table area, and just changing the format of this, basically making it larger within the same footprint we're in right now. And so we've spent a lot of time in how it would best function. So this would be the second phase. So we wouldn't do anything here until we were completed with the teller area and this area. Then we would move. The thought is we'd probably do this off tax season so that when we do, we would avoid that little bit of rush that comes in the, you know, that second, third, fourth week of September. So we would leave these doors right where they are. We're going to make an adjustment here that would have a plan reviewer so we could have some walk-up, a person who's getting a very generic building permit in a very basic review would have a counter they could walk right up to and talk to a building permit person, a technician here, and be able to work the permits counter. That's the basics of what we're trying to do here on the first floor. It will, of course, cause some other minor adjustments, but Mr. Lawson wanted the chance for you all to see this and have some thought process before we, you know, move forward or go any further with the concept.
I think it would cost less than it would have a whole new building, like some folks were looking at one time. You know, cost a lot less.
Yeah, this is really moving a few interior, you know, walls around to accommodate this. This isn't. Now we would have new finishes, we'd have new carpets and things of that nature, which I don't think any of that has been worked on since original construction. So some of it is getting pretty weathered at this point anyway.
I think until we see some numbers, it's going to be hard to get real excited about it. When will the numbers start coming in?
We are working with the architect now to refine our cost estimate so Mr. Lawson can present, you know, those to you. I was not involved in developing the initial budget, so where we are at this very moment, I'm not 100% sure, but I know we are working on the cost estimate. We just had one version with them within recent weeks. We have some questions on that for them, so we're still refining that number.
How much was the original budget?
$260,000. Initial internal estimates, we are well under that. Like Mr. Hawk said, we're refining the estimates that the architect has put before us, but we would also see that when we go to the bid process to see what numbers we get from any of those that would present a bid. Phase one needs to begin in a certain window of time so that we've developed this in a way that we have the minimal impact on the building and the customer coming in, and to avoid our peak traffic time, which is our tax season. If it would also unilaterally go online with the next phase of Munis, which is in July 1. Our July 1 start date for the computer system in this aspect would go right along with having these cashiers in place and ready to utilize that new phase. So we're looking to proceed to bid today, and then we would bring good hard numbers back for you all to review before we proceed to construction.
I would say the engineering department needs some direction in order to meet some schedules that we're wanting to accomplish by July.
Yeah.
We're not looking at planning and zoning at all, just this one section.
There's one element in planning and zoning that is getting, if you notice right here, which is as soon as you walk in the double doors, mm-hmm. currently there is just a wall that goes all the way down. Mm-hmm. We would like to cut through that wall and make an access. So as a person comes in the doorway, there would be a technician there where they could fold their plans out and have a discussion with the technician. That is the biggest impact that involves the zoning group. And again, Lawrence was part of the discussion.
I want to make sure you check with the dean there. Okay.
So, you know, the concept has been worked on for a while and has had a lot of people.
Right.
Isn't something the engineering department just came up with, you know, moving dominoes around?
No, this has been a collective effort over several departments. Lawrence Lank, Eddie Parker, Andy Wright, Amanda Bennett. We actually took a concept and handed it over to Mike Izzo, Brad Hawk's department, and asked them to put this into reality. That's what we're seeing today, several months worth of work to accomplish what we're hoping to get done.
Is this the same thing on this end as on the other end, as on the south end? This room here, the table and all?
This area right here?
Yes.
Currently?
No, across the hall.
I'm sorry.
Planning zone, across the hall. On the right-hand side.
Okay, this...
As you go in.
There's the double doors that are existing.
Where are you going to cut the hole in the wall?
Where are you going to cut the hole?
Oh, as soon as you come through the double door, within probably 3 to 5 feet, there will be an opening in the hall.
Oh, I understand. Right. But isn't that being done on the other end of that room, all right, as of now?
I mean, where the table is in the other doors? That's what you're looking, right? Where you go further down.
Just go down a little further and go in.
There is a table and chairs there.
What, 25?
Yeah, and Lawrence has, we've discussed that, and he uses that conference table often. So did not want to interrupt that current conference table.
A lot of people
table.
Use it, yes.
Doesn't this, Brad, what you're talking about now replaces the table that's right across the hallway today?
Essentially, right, there's a conference table here where a plan reviewer could fold some things out on. We're going to occupy that space now with this permit counter. So in a sense, yes, you're right. If a person had a routine permit, they could get a review right here, and Lawrence will still have use of his conference table just like it is now. And I've discussed that with him. That's important to him that that remain.
Put your arrow at where the door is now.
Here.
That's where the door is now and where our conference table is to meet with the public.
Yes.
And the door what's proposed is right near the, is an office now. We're going to convert that to a building code plan reviewer.
Right.
So building code would take that small space and just have a flip-up door and a counter that they could work with the public and a, probably a sliding door to close it off so it'd be secure when we're not open.
The other doors are still going to be available to go in?
Yeah, still there. That door's not going anywhere.
Up the other end.
And I actually had the same concern in discussion with Lawrence early on. Could we just use that conference table? And he explained that that was a busy spot for more zoning issues. This is thought to be more of a building code kind of technical review issue. But currently, somebody goes to the back and sits with a reviewer back here, which of course now is going to be used as, you know, in a different format.
So all money will be now handled here, where, like, I see Eddie in the back. Eddie used to handle money up there, right? And then each of these departments handled money. So, or Mike at utility building, you handled money up there, right? Mm-hmm. So none of that will happen. That'll be come to an end, right?
Good.
Correct.
And
we're
all going to put all the money here.
Yep.
Excellent.
Okay.
Any more questions, Mr. Hawks?
That's positive, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, next, I guess we'll see you next when you come back with a approval for a bid you've sent out.
Okay. We will keep the project moving forward for an advertisement process to obtain bids.
Mm-hmm. And how much you said this is going to cost approximately? $260,000?
We have $260,000 in the budget, but initial estimates are under that.
And that's for studying, or is that the complete
job? No, that's complete construction.
That's the nuts and bolts. We're into the, I mean, you can see how far along we are with the drawing. So now we're, at this point, we're ready to proceed with the construction portion.
And we do have people on in-house that can do some of this. Like,
that's what I thought.
On the construction. I mean, do any of our guys, that like our electricians and stuff like that, can we do any of that, Mike? To even maybe see other savings? Is it possible? Do we have the manpower? Do we have the time? Or do you?
In some cases we do, and this is a very simplified version of the project. The project itself with the electricity and the HVAC is much more complicated. We can do some things in-house, but the scope of this work is above any in-house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just checking.
Thank you, sir. Old business, Mr. Lang.
Oh, is this coming, Warwick